Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it can give us an insight that helps us through today, tomorrow, this year, and the years to come. So open our eyes and particularly open our ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us today. Amen. Right. Last month, the Foreign Secretary, Jeremy Hunt, ordered a review into the plight of persecuted Christians around the world and how much help they get from us, from the UK. The review, led by the Bishop of Truro, will look at government efforts to help some of the 215 million Christians who faced discrimination and violence last year, according to the Foreign Office. Officials say violence against Christians is rising dramatically, with an average of 250 killed every month. Shocking. But you see, there has not been ever a more dangerous time for the church. It's swimming against the moral tide of culture and is frankly struggling to keep its head above water. From the outside, it faces growing opposition from tyrannical rulers and the reality of increasing persecution at the hands of an anti-Christian majority. From within, some of the church leaders are leading Christians astray with new and seemingly more attractive interpretations of Scripture, and those who are trying to stay faithful are left scratching their heads in bewilderment at a loss over how to respond. The situation looks incredibly bleak. And yet, is that true? Or is that a lie? Because as we're going to look into Revelation, I think we're going to see some very familiar surroundings. We're going to find familiar surroundings as we get a little insight into why this letter was written to this church at this time, or at least to the seven churches, or should I say to the churches in the globe over the years. Well, that's what we're going to see from Revelation, this letter. Now, I don't think it's any different from the church in Asia Minor, which is the seven churches. Turkey, as we know it today, in the first century, were facing very similar issues that we face today. Of course, a different time, but actually you'll see many of the similarities as we go through this great letter. The book of Revelation is first and foremost a letter of encouragement to encourage a church in danger. Well, at the time in Revelation, they had the pressures of living in a culture with rampant idolatry, immorality, and it's going to be referred to as the great prostitute. You'll find that a little later on. You'll see the tyranny of an oppressive Roman regime. That's going to be referred to as the beast. There's going to be discrimination from both the pagan Roman religious leaders and the Jewish synagogues. Well, they're going to be referred to as false prophets, as well as the population at large, those who dwell on the earth. You need to buckle in and open your vision as you go and see in technicolor all that God has in store. But all that God promises to help us through. Behind the scenes, all these issues that are being faced are just a mere tool of Satan himself, who's referred to as the great dragon, in his attempt to destroy the church, which is the bride of the Lamb. So let's delve in to Revelation. Let's have a little look at this first little snippet, which often we can just skip through, and yet is a minefield of rich treasures. Let's have a little look at Revelation chapter 1. The revelation, or the word is apocalypse, the apocalypse from Jesus Christ. What is this revelation? What's this apocalypse? Well, it's a type of literature that they would have been familiar with in those times. Ezekiel, Daniel, they're familiar books, were similar writing. What is it? It's symbolic prophecy. And it will be there to encourage us. Who's it from? Who's this letter from? Well, it is from Jesus Christ. It is from Jesus. And God gave him the job to show his servants what must soon take place. How'd it happen? Well, he made it known by sending his angel to his servant John, who testifies to everything he saw. Now, we don't know which John it was. What we presume, maybe it was the beloved disciple. But he testifies to what he saw. That is, the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. Blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy. And blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Now, what's this letter? It's from God via Jesus, with the help of an angel speaking to John. What's the purpose? What's the aim? Well, it's to show the servants what must soon take place. It's going to be a revealing of a heavenly perspective on history. And it's going to take symbolism to help us to see what's to happen. And therefore, how we should live in the light of the final outcome. And what's the aim? Well, it says it again in the passage. Read it, hear it, and take it to heart. That's the aim. And how would you start a letter from God? Well, God is revealed in his glory. It's rich with doxology, and it basically tells us lots of stuff that I'm sure Mike AV would have been proud to have been opening for hours on end, if only he was able to do that. But let's have a little look into this first section. John to the seven churches in the province of Asia. We'll come to the seven churches a little later on. Grace and peace to you from him who is, who was, and who is to come. But what an introduction. I don't know how people are introduced, but to be introduced as the one who was, who is, and who is to come is mind-blowing. There is Yahweh at the top, or a phrase that's often used, I am who I am. It's the picture of how God reveals himself. And he reveals himself in a helpful way for us in this letter. Let me give you an example. Let me give you a pencil or a pen, okay? And I want you to imagine that this is time, okay? This bit here is when it all started. Okay, this is the beginning. Okay, and this is time. Okay. And then this is the end. Okay, this is the end of time. We're not here yet. We probably, I don't know whereabouts we are, but we're on there. Okay. And then there's God. There's God's before time. There's God in time, and there's God's at the end of time. There's a sense in which God is looking at time, which he created, in a way that blows our brain. That we're there. Can you see us? No, is the answer. But can you see how much greater God is? Because he's far greater than I am in relation to this pencil or pen. As God is so much greater than time. For he made it. He started it. He is the one who was and is to come. And so when you get a letter from the one who was and is to come, what an encouragement that is, as we are there, worrying about what's going to happen there and concerned about what happened there. And God says, I know. I know. But that's the picture that we get here. As we read Revelation, we're not hearing from a God who's kind of going, "Ooh, do you know what? I'm not sure. I can't really give you much encouragement. I'm not sure what's going to happen." Actually, God's there kind of going, "It's all right. It's all right. Let me spoil it for you. Jesus wins. Let me spoil it for you. I've kind of been there, but do you know what? I'm outside of time, so I haven't just been there, and I'm everywhere at all times and in all places. And so, actually, it's more helpful for you to grasp who I am than for you to kind of worry about that little, you know, that whatever's coming up." That's the picture that we have. God's not going to be speculating in this letter. He is outside of time everywhere. And so he's going to be encouraging us. He is ever present. He is powerful. He is knowledgeable. He is the one who was, in essence, he's the Alpha and Omega. We see that in this passage. How does he finish the section that we've just read? He is the Alpha and the Omega. We see in these verses an insight into God's otherness, his uniqueness. And it's from him that we are receiving this letter, this encouragement. So at the beginning of the letter, we see that God is the initiator, he's the finisher, he's there at all points. And will help us to have a big picture. He is truly sovereign. So immediately we should sit up and listen. Now that's what the letter says is the purpose, is for us to hear, sit up and listen, to hear what God is saying. For he is Yahweh. He is the one who was, is, and is to come. He is the I am who I am. So what does he have to say? Well, firstly, we see the team. God's team. We see Jesus and we see the Spirit. That's the first kind of thing that we get given an insight into. It's like kind of revealing the curtain and kind of going, "No, it's just not just a little weak wizard. It's actually God and his Trinitarian self." God's not working alone here. He's not dragging the Son and the Spirit reluctantly to its climax. No, this is a pastoral letter from Jesus, from the seven spirits, which is a picture of kind of completeness. So you'll see lots of kind of imagery of numbers, but the seven spirits is a picture of the completeness of the Spirit. It's perfect. And we're going to see also seven churches, seven lampstands, seven trumpets, seven plagues. We're going to see a complete revelation, an insight into all that is to come. And that's going to encourage us. Well, we see that this is from the seven spirits and from Jesus Christ. Verse 5, who is the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth. We say those three things as if to say, do you know what? We could do a whole sermon series on each and every one of these. But God's trying to help us to see this is Jesus, and you're going to see him in all his glory. And I'm just going to mention three things. He says, first of all, he is the faithful witness. And we're going to see that Jesus is the faithful witness. Not just will be other faithful witnesses, they'll be referred to in the Bible, but actually he is the faithful witness. The witness to who God is and all that he has done. That's what we're going to see. Secondly, we're going to see that he is the firstborn from the dead. He's going to be the one who defeats death. He has defeated death. He is the firstborn from the dead. And also he is the ruler of the kings of the earth. Three insights into who Jesus is that should blow our brain and delight us that he's written a letter. This is what the letter is. So we get this triunity, this trinity, this team revealing themselves to us at the end of the Bible. And we know that they were not only they were the team, they are the team, and they will always be the team. for all eternity and outside. Well, it's an encouragement as we delve into this letter that we're going to see that, well, not that we're on their side, but ultimately, or not that, sorry, they're on our side, but more accurately, we're on their side. We get to play a part, it's a small part, of a little battle in time, and that's us there. That's our time, and that's our opportunity, and that's our life. But it's part of a much bigger situation. That's what we're going to be told. And so, as we get this insight into who Jesus is, that we're going to see that he is the one who is the ruler of the King of Kings. Daniel speaks of him as the one who changes times and seasons. He deposes kings and raises others up. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. We're going to see Matthew 28:18. Jesus came and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Well, at the time, people just go, "Well, what does that mean, Jesus?" At the time, I don't understand. This is the pulling back the curtain bit of the Bible to see, what does that mean? What does that look like? All things are in Christ's control. He is the King over kings. He is the King of kings. And so a little later on, when we see some crazy imagery, we see the four horsemen, and we hear about the dragon. We hear about some of the shocking imagery, which to me feels like going to a Salvador Dali museum. If you've ever been to one of those, you look at the paintings and you go, "My goodness, he must have been poorly." That was my response. What was going on in his head? And yet this is an insight into God helping us with pictures to see what is to come and what is going on. So we see this God team, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, at the beginning of this letter, giving us an insight into all that is to come. And we have this last section that speaks of greetings and doxology. To him who loves us. Well, it's shocking. What? Why? What? Why do you love us, Jesus? But why? What have we done? What have we done? You're so much greater than I. Why do you love us? But he does. We've done nothing to deserve all that he's done. But he loves us. And he has freed us from our sins by his blood. My goodness, there's the gospel. He's freed us from our sins by his blood. How costly, how sacrificial. And he has made us to be a kingdom and priests to serve his God and Father. These are images that are going to be picked up a little later. In fact, actually, with your Bible knowledge, you'll know about the priesthood. You'll know about the role that they played and the amazing invitation for God's people to be a kingdom of priests. And that extends to us today, delighting in serving our God and Father. And that's what this letter is going to be about. It's going to encourage us. It's going to encourage us. It's going to open our eyes to see how great Jesus is. But it's also going to be tough. That's what we're going to see. And how do we respond to him? Be glory and power forever and ever. Amen. We're going to see what I call the Gandalf moment. Have you ever seen Lord of the Rings? Second one? No, you haven't. Okay, let me picture the scene. Caleb, can you come over here? Come. I need an orc. You're definitely the closest. Come. Okay, James. Okay, James is there. James is in Helm's Deep. Caleb's there, orc, looking mean and scary. Ooh! They're fighting. The walls are being ripped down. Everything's happening. They're all here going, "Ah, ah, no!" Even though the elves are there and they go, and all the battle goes on, and they're kind of going, ooh, Lord of the Rings. This is the whole of the movie. It goes on for 3 hours. So do you mind if I kind of take up some of your time? Anyway, so that's the point that happens. And they're losing. The orcs are climbing up. And they go, they're destroying people and killing. It's just amazing. 40 minutes. 40 minutes of battle. There you go. That's it. That's it. So anyway, this is all happening. And then, next slide. On the fifth day, some of you must know, there must be some Lord of the Rings fans here. Look to my coming at first light on the fifth day. At dawn, look to the east. And then Gandalf's here. He's up here with his horse. And the riders of Rohan. And they take down. You can go and sit down. And they basically destroy. And it's just... All right, it's just... It's good. The second movie, you're looking at me as if to say, that's the pit, okay, that's the Gandalf moment. This, if you watch the second movie, it's just that point at which you just kind of go, how on earth are they going to survive? They're not going to survive, and then suddenly, help is there as Gandalf comes over the hill. You could see him. That's nothing compared to the picture of how Christ is going to bring victory. You think... In the second movie, how on earth are they going to survive Helm's Deep? And yet, it changes. Sorry. Third movie. Sorry. My son's correcting my Lord of the Ring knowledge. But basically, that's the picture. That's the picture, is that Jesus is saying, look, I'm going to open the curtains to help you to see, firstly, you're there. And that's going to be happening. And I want you just to be encouraged. I want you to be encouraged that God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are there, and there. Kind of Alpha and Omega. I am, was, is to come. And the victory has been won. But as you're there looking about what's going to happen next, you need to know the end of the story. You need to know that Jesus wins. You need to know that at the end, we are victorious. And so what an encouragement it is to know that Jesus wins. What an encouragement it is to know that him who was and is to come, the Alpha and the Omega, the Lord who is the Almighty One, is writing a letter. Through John, through the Spirit, to the seven churches and to those who have ears to hear. So what is our response? Well, I don't know what it looks like from where you are at the moment and how tough it is. But I can tell you that around the world, there are some who are feeling like life's a little like Helm's Deep. The battle is not winnable. Well, that's the picture. And we need to, in our prayers, pray for us, our boldness in those times. Pray for us to have eyes and ears to see and hear, as we're going to see a little later on in these seven churches, these seven letters, ways in which that we will be tempted to fall and fail, and yet how we must endure and be victorious in Christ. So the question will be, will you, can we have the previous slide, as it mentions in verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and blessed are those who hear it and take to heart what is written in it, because the time is near. Are we going to pray a little time now for those who are persecuted around the world? The next slide tells you about Open Doors. There are several organizations who help us to see the battle that is raging. I sometimes feel like we're little hobbits in Hobbiton, just going on with our lives. Those little houses, you know, the little houses, the grass houses. Ooh, all is well. And in reality, Helm's Deep is going on elsewhere. That's the kind of picture that we get given. Well, on your tables is information. information about how persecution is very, very real around the world and how it affects communities, how it affects individuals to this day. The information is of last year, so it's very up to date. And it is eye-opening to see what kind of persecution is very real. So as we begin this letter, this revelation of Jesus Christ, help us to see how we can pray for, how we can stand firm, and how we can read these words and take to heart and live in the light of all the challenges that we will face this day, this month, this year, and in our generation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for the insight that you've given us in Revelation. Thank you for pulling back the curtain to help us to see who Jesus is, who you are, how the Spirit works, and encourage us when we feel like we're in that battle and we feel like we're losing. Help us when we feel like we're in Hobbiton and we don't feel like there's a battle at all. Help us to see the big picture. Help us to be wary of the great dragon, Satan, who is out to get us and our generation and every generation. Give us wisdom to see what we can do, how we can encourage one another, and how we can hear what you've written here and how it impacts in our life. Amen.